Hello and welcome to this episode of You Seem Interesting. I'm Danny Rouillet, the host of this program. Thank you so much for subscribing. Thank you for liking. Thank you for leaving the reviews, recommending us to your friends. It is an honor to be beamed to your cell phone, just sitting there waiting in the queue for you to push play. Thank you as always as well to my Patreon subscribers. You guys are the most asbestos and you know it, you handsome devils. Thank you guys so much for participating. You guys are the engine that drives this train. This episode is all about soda. Not real soda, not the sugary stuff, not the cane stuff, not the Coca-Cola classics or the big boys. This is a new thing. New Wave Soda CEO and founder Nat Noon joins me. He invented something called New Wave Soda, and it's starting to gain a market share, and I think he invented a new space, and I'm fascinated by stuff like this, so we'll talk to him in a few moments. But as we always do around this time, a little something I like to call the strangest gimmick in all of podcasting.
It is once again time for the strangest gimmick in all of podcasting. A moderately passable celebrity impression asking you for money.
All right, here it is. It's an obvious thing. You got a lot of choices to make. Look inside yourself. Figure out what you want to do here. If it's me, I'll tell you what I do. I'll go to patreon.com/funnydanny. Support this guy. He's pretty good. He talks to interesting people. I like that. It's a menagerie of characters or whatever. Oh!
Thank you very much, Tony Soprano. Ring an endorsement. Very nice. Soda, what do we know? It's delicious. Everybody knows that. It's carbonated sugar with slight different modifications across brands. $440 billion industry soda. That's all things soda. That's basically anything that comes in a can and is carbonated sort of in that penumbra, right? In that big umbrella. Diet drinks account for about $4.25 billion, again, worldwide. So that isn't necessarily like a Diet Coke or a Diet Pepsi, but sort of those diet health type drinks, right? Protein drinks are on the rise. That's an $18 billion industry, up dramatically over the last 10 years or so as people are finding out more and more and more about nutrition. Now, the health beverages marketplace. This is kind of all things. So diet drinks, slightly different. The health beverage, weird category, right? Because something could be healthy, quote unquote, even if it's not good for you, it could be less bad, right? So it's a less bad version of something. That goes in the health department. If you're drinking a protein drink or an energy shake or a kombucha, however you say that word, thing that my wife really likes that tastes like fungus, you're drinking one of those, that's the health beverage market. That is skyrocketing. $94 billion industry, basically 10 times growth over the last 20 years or so. That's the space. The natural drink market, again, it kind of nebulous as to what goes in there. It's a big umbrella. That's a $200 million industry. Not that much when it comes to all the cans and all the bottles and the little teeny tiny market share. So enter this little engine that could, something called New Wave Soda, invented by my guest, Nat Noon. I really think, and listen, this is going to sound like I'm just doing an advertisement for 8 minutes for this beverage. Let me take you back, actually. I'm in Washington, D.C., okay? I host a radio program from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Where I chop up sports every day, right? Me and a co-host, we do the show each and every day. I love it. The guys that come on before us in the morning have been in this marketplace for years and years and years and years and years. And if you listen to that show, it's a great show, by the way. Listen to that show. It's these four guys that have gotten along and are best buddies forever. And they fight and they argue, but they talk to each other the way you would talk to your brother or to your pals at a bar or if you're watching a game together. And it's riveting. It's great content. But here's the thing that you kind of notice when you listen to a show as often and regularly as I do to that one, because they come on before us, and I was a listener kind of before I got my role on air. Some of the products they endorse often become part of the show's menagerie. It's a very unique thing, especially with them. Now, in spoken word markets all across the country, you'll have hosts kind of talking up a product, and every once in a while they'll drop it in with a mention. But these guys have been with some of these products for so long, whether it's a car dealership, whether it's a mattress company with them, or something else, that when a new interloper, a new ad gets into the mix, your ears perk up. You notice it. right? Because these guys, again, have been with some of these same dependable advertisers for, it seems like, decades, and they're sort of old faithful. It's this banter that you know, and you know this one guy is going to endorse this car dealership, and he's going to sneak in a mention here, or this one guy endorses this one restaurant, he's going to sneak in a mention there. So when a new advertising thing comes along, like New Wave Soda did, your ears kind of perk up. I'd never heard of New Wave Soda. I'd never heard of it, okay? I did the Google, just like everybody else. I find out that the founder, CEO, this guy, Nat Noon, who will join me in about 3 or 4 minutes, is a Washington, D.C. guy, was a few years ahead of me at a private school just up the road that I would say we were rivals with, but that would imply that they beat us ever. Oh, come on, Nat, I'm just joshing with you. No, but I didn't lose to them very much. The point is this. He went there, and I'm like, oh, this guy's kind of similar to me, except successful. So I kind of did a little research, figured it out. So I just, I bought some. I bought some mostly because I heard about it on the radio. That's right. Advertising works. I hear guys that I trust and know talking about it. They rave about it. They're talking about it even when it's not on, not part of an actual advertisement. They're just talking about it casually. It comes up all the time in conversation. So I go, let me see what this is all about. And I'm permanently on a diet. I'm 41 years old now. I've reached that age where if I'm in the room with a carbohydrate, I gain 3 pounds of side fat. I have to be perfect all the time to not end up gaining weight. And I cheat on my diet all the time and end up struggling to sort of stay, and I yo-yo, just like everybody else. There's a huge percentage of people that are not Instagram models that are just dumpy zilches just like me. So I'm always looking for something that tastes good that won't make me fat. It's the permanent quest. Everybody is always on it. So I look up the nutrition information, right? And I get myself some New Wave Soda. It's a very simple set of ingredients. It's a simple thing. Because every other health soda, right? You've had your LaCroix, you've had your Fizzies, your Izzies, whatever the different things are. You've had your flavored Perriers, etc. This is just a simple little deal where it's 85% carbonated water and about 14, 15% the different kinds of fruit juice. They're different flavors, right? And not that much sugar, not very many carbs, 6 or under in both categories. And for you people that don't count carbs and sugar, first of all, God bless you. You're living a much happier life than me. But second of all, that's not very much. I tried a couple of the flavors and was blown away. I had to talk to Nat about his story, how he came up with this, and I believe this, and he's going to kind of be modest about it. I think he invented a whole new space here. I think there's a sweet spot for people just like me that are looking for taste, who don't want to be fat. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? There are basically a couple things that I want in my life as a grown-up man baby at this point. I want to feel like I'm 12 years old again. You can produce something, whether it's a movie, television, video game, etc. I'll purchase it so I can feel that way. And I want food that tastes good, food and drink that tastes good without making me a dumpy, fat zilch. And I think Nat has found that. So without further ado, enjoy my conversation with CEO and founder of New Wave Soda, Mr. Nat Noon. This week on You Seem Interesting, I am joined by former DC resident. He made a great choice. He now lives on the left coast in San Diego. The CEO and the founder of New Wave Soda, Mr. Nat Noon, joins me. Nat, what's up, dude?
What's up, Danny? Thanks for having me.
Dude, it is a pleasure. So I need to be clear about this. I am not a paid endorser. I am just an idiot who is gross to look at, who tried New Wave Soda and fell in love with it and became obsessed with you, with your story, and everything else. So for folks that don't know, and I've kind of gone into this already in the episode, Nat, I've described kind of what it is. What space are you guys actually in? Is it health drink? Is it healthier soda? Because it's not like protein infused where people are shouting at you about keto. This is just a really delicious alternative. Are you making your own space here?
Yeah, I think for us, it's trying to go after what I was with all the world of ex-soda drinkers. The soda category is declining, so people are leaving and they're looking for a new home. And that's what I was. And it was looking for kind of the reasons I drink soda. I want to be refreshed. I want a little bit of bubbles and I want a little bit of caffeine. And I don't like sweeteners. So I don't like stevia or monk fruit or anything. And there was nothing out there that kind of hit on those 4 simple needs. And so we're kind of going after the world of ex-soda users. We're going after the world of, bored sparkling water drinkers. And we're going after the world of kind of natural soda drinkers. But, in that space is a lot of, cane sugar is quote unquote natural, stevia is natural, and a lot of that world doesn't want sweeteners. So we're kind of hitting on those 3 fronts.
And you just described me to a T. I quit soda. When I was, you know, in shape and like a reasonable human being with a metabolism that was above 0.0, I used to drink soda by the dozen. I mean, I love Coca-Cola Classic so much, and I miss it every day. Every meal I eat reminds me of Coca-Cola, right? I had to 100%. Quit it. I had to quit it because I kept getting fatter, and I was like, why? Well, that's why. I've been unsatisfied with everything I have had until New Wave Soda. How do you come up with the idea? Where does it come from? I understand like your point about the market share, but are you sitting in a dorm room somewhere? I mean, how do you come up with this idea that we'll have carbonated fruit juice that pummels the competition?
Yeah, I mean, that's the crazy thing. It's like I've been, you know, I started when I was in college, I started on a truck working for a fresh juice company, and that company got bought by a bigger one, and that one got bought by Coke. So I've been kind of in this world for, you know, 20 some years since I left college. And the whole time I'm in this world, I'm selling natural products and I'm, you know, consuming 12, 14 diet drinks a day, period. Right. And that's my addiction. I love doing it. And I always, as soon as I finished one, I put it down and I would seek my next one. And I think for me, it was like, I know aspartame will kill me. I know it's not good. And so I needed a way out. Wife finally drew a line in the sand, said, you have to quit your soda, but I didn't have anything to jump into. So why not create something, right? Like, so I had a soda stream at home and, you know, my perfect drink was, you know, filling up my soda stream and then adding a splash of juice on top, but it was missing the caffeine, right? So I started adding a little caffeine to it, just the same that's in like a Diet Coke. So then I could just drop one and, you know, start drinking Wave. And so made three flavors. I made a, you know, a caffeine-free apple so my kid could have a, you know, better for you version of Martinelli's or Izzy that he was drinking. And then I made a tangerine and a mango and just kind of went after it. Loaded a bunch in my van and started selling around San Diego to see if it was more than just me that kind of was seeking this little combination. And it turned out it was. So kind of feel like I hit on something and it's been a fun like 2-year ride. And yeah, I feel like the audience is growing. Every time we turn a corner, we open up a new market and there's kind of another, you know, person that quit soda like you or me and, you know, wanted something better.
So the background, obviously, in beverages, I know you worked for Coca-Cola for a time, obviously it helps you here, but you're not a chemist, right? I mean, how are you, in other words, I have all sorts of great ideas, but to get them from there to like even a piece of paper is a challenge, let alone like you just added caffeine. How does someone do that? Can you buy caffeine? You see where I'm going with this, right? How do you sort of figure out your formulas and those kinds of things without having this chemistry background?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing is there's nothing really complicated about, you know, this world, right? It's literally 85% bubbly water and then 15% fruit juice and then just, you know, a couple drops of caffeine, right? And so, you know, you kind of make up what we call a benchtop sample. So you make kind of your own version and then, you know, in order to commercialize it and put it into cans on a larger scale, you find like a good partner that with a good quality assurance team and they can kind of piece together, make sure your acid levels are right, and make sure your Brix levels or your sugar levels are right. And then you can commercialize it and go from your kitchen to, you know, we found a co-packer. So kind of, you know, whether it's your a local micro brew or little startup soda, there are these, you know, warehouses around the US that kind of fill product. And so we found a co-packer that could fill some soda for us. And they took that commercialized recipe, that very same combination on a larger scale and started canning for us.
I watch enough Shark Tank to know that the more you make, usually the cheaper it costs. When is that point for you guys? When does that become realized? That once you get to the scale that you want, how close are you to that? And what are the challenges on the way?
Yeah, we started to feel it this year. I mean, it's funny, like you can do a lot of things on a small scale, but you're paying a lot more for it. Right. Mm-hmm. So for example, you know, and this is geeking out a little bit, but like our cans, you can buy blank cans, right? Silver cans that you can get by the pallet and then you fill them and then you can add like a shrink sleeve label to it. It looks pretty cool. And I think if you look at like a lot of micro brews around that you'll find in the store have that kind of design. But the deal is that it costs a lot, right? So it's like, you know, 10 cents for the sleeve and 10 cents for the can and 10 cents for them to put it on. So that hurts, right? And that's mm-hmm. before you put in the liquid and that's before you pay a co-packer to do it. But then you kind of grow up and, you know, we could do 17,000 cans at a time for perspective, right? When we do the shrink sleeves. Then when we go to painted cans, so when you have like a Coke can is all, you know, kind of flat and it's been painted onto the surface of the can, mm-hmm. you know, you have to do 200,000 cans at a time per flavor, right? So for me to do my seven flavors, there's 1.4 million cans that I have to commit to, but it's way cheaper, right? So essentially I can get for the same price of 4 million cans that are painted is the same as what I was paying for like 40,000 cans with a shrink sleeve.
But the challenge is having enough cash up front to be able to make it cheaper.
Well, it's the cash and it's the balls to say, look, I'm going to commit to 1.4 million of this item that I'm going to go try to hustle on the street, right? And if before you know that someone really likes your product or likes your combination, to stroke that kind of commitment is hard, right? So you kind of like, you know, for me, it's all about like these early gates that we went through, right? So it's like, all right, I can make 17,000. I can stomach that. I can go out and then go sell it on the, you know, my van and go try to sell to a bunch of like natural specialty products or stores and some food service places. And it does it work? And it worked, right? So then it's like, all right, I sold through my 17,000. Let me double it. And let me double it again. And then all of a sudden, it's like you're almost at that point where you can do 200,000. And then you pull the trigger and do it. And then you realize like that windfall of that just cost me a lot less than I thought. This is great. And so then you kind of like turn that first corner towards having like the possibility of profit.
So you guys are in an interesting spot right now. And back in an earlier episode, a good buddy of mine named Ted Sullivan, who was a couple years ahead of me in high school, he founded a company called Game Changer and ultimately sold it to Dick's Sporting Goods. And he had that entire entrepreneurial arc with the fundraising and stuff. So he was at the end of his cycle looking back on it. You're very much in the middle of this thing while you guys are doing some fundraising for it, right? What's the 100%. Challenge there? What are some of the things that you worry about? Is it giving up too much? Is it, you know, hey, we need the cash? Is it worrying about someone buying into your vision? Because it seems to me, if you look at the data, this is a no-brainer, right? But what are the challenges there?
Yeah, I think it's funny. Like you there's this tweener space when you're an entrepreneur and you're kind of growing up and, you know, early investors are investing in you and kind of like, all right, it's cool. And I want to have something to talk about. So uncles and neighbors and brothers and, you know, whomever it is around you kind of jump in and to support you, right? That only gets you so far. And the whole goal is that you can use that and stretch it far enough to get you to this proof of concept, right? And so after you've gone far enough with that cash, your hope is that you're at the point that you've gotten the attention of some big hitters where they see like, all right, I've seen this out there. They're in, you know, 1,000 stores or whatever the number is. And they've got this product. I see a following on social, like they're doing a good job. Now I'm ready. And so it's almost like a, I don't know, I always refer to it as like an acrobat, right? So you're like, you know, on that one side, you have to let go at some point and hope you can reach that other side, right? And there's a big chance that you're going to fall and hit the net. And then you hope that you don't, right? And you hope that you take that risk and you let go and you can grab that other side. And that's where we are, right? So we've graduated out of, you know, a neighbor's check or a friend's check is great, but that's not what we need. We started, you know, need to get the strategics in and have people that can help us grow to that next level as a part of this round. So it's really, have we grabbed enough attention from the big hitters that they're going to jump in and kind of join us on this ride to the next level?
Because I want to invest, but you don't need my money. That's like tens of dollars in your coffer. That's a waste of your time. In fact, this whole interview is a waste of your time, to be frank. So let me go back in time for you. I want to know two things. One, have you had a failure? And if so, did that sort of help you in this case? And then with this one, with New Wave Soda, when did you know this is not a failure? In fact, this is a home run.
Wow. That's a deep question. I might even cry a little bit.
That's what I'm looking for. Hard-hitting journalism.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. No, I mean, it's funny. Like, you know, I growing up, like I was a, you know, I had a fruit stand in DC. My brother and I had one called Fat Fruit for all those hardcore DC locals that remember it. But we were across the street from Sutton Place Gourmet by AU. Kill it. Greatest summer job of all times. We'd buy local produce, sell it for half the price of Sutton Place, and we made double our money, and we got to sit outside the entire summer with our friends. Greatest, greatest summer of my life, right? And that's where I got bit by the entrepreneur gene and went off to college and went to BU, wasn't a great student, got a bunch of C's, and only classes I did well in were the ones that were, you know, entrepreneurship or something that was tangible. But anything that was like theoretical, I sucked at, right? And then I got on board with this little like fun juice company that was so tangible. They were a little family-owned company out of Maine, and I'd skip class to go deliver a cooler or skip class to go deliver to some grocery stores. Super counterintuitive that like that's what I liked versus liking this highbrow kind of education that I had in front of me. But it's what I love. And so I kind of parlayed that into, you know, kind of the next 15 years, right? Like I kept moving around and I had, you know, win after win. It was kind of great, right? Like I'm working for a little company and that company gets bought by the bigger one and I get promoted. I probably got promoted 13 times. They moved me from Boston to DC to the Southeast to the Midwest to Berkeley to, and then I worked out Coke Towers, right? It was a great ride and win after win. It was awesome. And so then I was like, you know, all right, I'm done. I'm done with the big company. I like little. And so I went back and I started a distribution company back in, I don't know, 2010, trying to like leverage everything I'd done, right? So take a little brand, put it on a truck, try to sell it in the stores. I built that company up. I was on a great run. And sure enough, we were burning more cash than we were making. And I kept having to dilute myself and, you know, bring in kind of worse and worse partners. And at the end of the day, that company went under. And so I burnt my entire 401k. I burnt a lot of energy and passion and, you know, everything I had in me for about, you know, 5 years building that up and lost it. And that was devastating, man. It crushed me. And I spent like the next three years kind of licking my wounds and working with, you know, friends, companies that kind of understood the value that I could help them grow a business or, you know, scale their sales side and did that. And then, you know, I'm sitting there working kind of for other people's visions. And then I'm like, I've got to get back into this. And so I convinced my wife, it's time. And let's take another shot at it. And that's when I started Wave.
I love that story, dude. I love it.
Yeah.
That's kind of the point, right? Is everybody in any industry, in anywhere can relate to that, where you got knocked on your ass and what are you going to do about it? Right? So to walk out on that limb again is really, really cool. So second part, when did you know with this one? When did you know? Because as you said, you're before, I get the sense that you were going, no, my vision's good. It's good. It's good. And you keep chasing and chasing and chasing. And then ultimately it's like, oh crap. When did you know that this one was different?
Yeah. I think for me, like I rode the brakes really hard on this one, right? Like I didn't, you know, that I got so far over my skis with the last one, right? I was like, I'm all in. It's going to go. It's going to go. It's going to go. I think with this one, it's like, let me pass these little, you know, baby check marks, right? Let me make sure that, you know, I can get it into a store, right? Let me make sure that the buyer likes it. And then second thing is, you know, let me make sure someone buys it off the shelf. Like people like the look of it. They twist the wrist. They read what we're about and they buy it. Like that felt cool. And I think the third was like, do they come back and buy it again? Right. Mm-hmm. And so then I would go back to do another delivery and then it sold through. So those were like those early little wins that made me feel like, okay, I can go a little bigger and I could go a little bigger. And so that's all this has been like last, you know, 2.5 years since I started was, you know, stacking a series of wins on top of each other. And it's having like the feeling of confidence that I've got another win. I've got another win. And I'm sure it goes back to your baseball days, right? It's like once you go on a hot streak and you know, you start getting some hits and you feel good and, you know, you start going after a little bit harder, right? And then all of a sudden you start hitting home runs and you feel amazing, you know? And then you're like, I just got to catch that buzz again. And that's what it's been for me. It's been like literally 2.5 years of little wins that have kind of culminated into the feeling like we've got something here.
Do you ultimately feel, to kind of go back to the original question I had for you, that this is a new space, right? Because I'm having trouble quantifying because I'm around some people that I know are like, man, there's a million people like me, billions of people like us where I need to lose weight. I need to diet, but it's exhausting to be screamed at about keto and about, you know, this fat burning fuel and this, you know, emu oil or whatever the hell is supposed to be in these things. And they're on the pie chart. There isn't a big sliver of this where you're not purporting to be a quote health drink. You're not a Quest powder. You're not regular soda. You're also not the 0.0 bland stuff. Do you see yourself as kind of a trailblazer in a new space?
I mean, it is funny because it's like we are the only unsweetened soda, right? And I think that's where we're going after is this idea that like soda doesn't have to be bad for you, right? I think like it's so funny. Like when we early on, we did this little consumer survey trying to look at you know, how big is this universe? And it was, what are the emotions of soda is one thing we were trying to quantify, right? We did, you know, of all the soda users we surveyed, it was 93% of the soda users knew soda was bad for them, right? Of those, 92% of those people said that they would look at a better for you option if it was out there, right? So the soda world is seeking better for you, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, for me, it's like, how do we harness that group? And it went back to the emotion. I used to, super, you know, whatever, side story, but like I used to belong to this community pool growing up. And I remember as a kid, you know, we'd do the swim and then the adult swim would happen. You'd have to get out of the water and you'd have some time to kill. And the freedom, my mom would give me two quarters and I'd be able to go. Yeah. You'd be able to go. But like the emotion of it is what I like, what triggered for me is like the freedom. I'm being handed money. So that's responsibility, right? I go over and this was, it wasn't even like a man's snack bar, it was a soda machine. You go and you drop the quarters in, the sounds of those quarters hitting the bottom. Then you push that big old button it used to be, and it's like click, click, you know, and then the can drops to the bottom, right? You lift it up, it's icy cold. You crack the top of it and like that little like just droplet that goes down the side, like, and then that first sip, you've been swimming and you're hot and you've been drinking some pool water and you take that first sip and you're like refreshed. And it's like all of those feelings are, those are emotions around that moment, right? It's not about what I was drinking. I wasn't seeking the sugar. I wasn't seeking all of like artificial things. I was seeking that emotion of that moment, right? And so that's kind of what we're trying to harness here. It's like soda can be about that emotion of refreshing and happy and family and like all these positive things. It doesn't have to be this four-letter word that it's become, right? And so for us doing this unsweetened version with nothing bad inside that I feel good about giving my kids is resonating for way more than just me. But I think it's because we're harnessing this like emotion, not this negative experience that people, you know, are kind of associating with soda today.
That's well said. Let me change to this. I would find myself the following I think I would really struggle with. I know I do it every day in my radio gig where I'm just so convinced that I've got a point or that I'm right or something. You know what I mean? And the frustration that not everybody right away either recognizes the brand or understands what I'm saying, or I've got to, you know, retweet the same thing 57 times to make people understand the value of a draft pick or whatever the hell it is,
totally,
right?
Totally.
Is that a frustration where you go, dude, we have something, and you want to like shake a stranger? Like, how do you not know how great this is? Like, is that, so I guess go into the challenge therein, and then I'd love for you to expound on getting the word out. I imagine that's just the biggest holy war and it just stinks on ice.
Yeah. No, I think for me, it's like, I've come to realize, you know, if you take back to that survey of that 93% that knows soda's unhealthy, I'll never convince that 7% that this is their brand, right? It's knowing kind of who's the audience that you think is receptive to what you're saying and who's the audience that's not, and quickly just turning off the one that isn't and save the energy.
Did you just drop a basket of deplorables reference on You Seem Interesting on my podcast? Is that what you just did?
Do you like that?
There's 7% we just can't reach. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead, please.
But it's like, it's this idea of like, you know, go after the ones that are there, right? Uh-huh. And the market's there. You know, you have a $90 billion category of soda is declining at 3%, right? That's a huge audience that just wants out, right? So it's like, how do we let them know we're here? And I think, you know, half of it is, you know, blocking and tackling, right? Brick by brick. You know, it's going after, I'm going to get one store at a time. I'm going to get one facing at a time. And I'm going to get one new flavor on that shelf, right? And that's like, that's the grind. And I open Wagshaw's in DC, magical moment, right? It's one store. At the end of the day, it doesn't move the needle on my sales, but it's like, it's an emotional moment and it's what you need to do. You need to have 1,000 of those Wagshaw's happening, right? You need to have all of these kind of food service accounts opening. You need to have all these grocery stores opening. I just got a call 2 days ago. We're getting into Publix, which is like 1,200 stores in the Southeast. That's massive, right? But it's all of these like little wins lead to the big ones, right? So half of the world is get your distribution up, get your product on a shelf at a store someone shops at that left soda, right? That's our perfect person is in that store that we're there, right? The online piece has been amazing. Like we launched our online presence in February. So right when COVID was starting, we got up and running and, you know, now we're technically sold in all 50 states. We've got, you know, orders from everyone and it's exciting to see kind of that immediate distribution or availability around the whole country. So that's been huge. And then the third piece is really, you know, layering in the marketing and letting people know that we're here. And so we've been doing it on social with, you know, we have great kind of creative on Instagram and Facebook. Been doing Twitter ever since we started playing with 106.7. So first time I jumped on Twitter, but, you know, playing in that universe, and that's been great. And then it's like, you know, just continuing to pound home the digital messaging because you have this amazing reach that is incredibly affordable versus, you know, kind of old guard was to stand at a store and pour a sample for 3 hours and, you know, hope 10 people liked it. But you can hit this huge audience with, you know, one Facebook ad and hit tens of thousands for the same spend.
What's better for you? Do you want people to buy it from a store or find out about you guys otherwise and then, you know, order direct from you guys? You know what I mean? Like, what's more advantageous to you and your goals?
Well, it's so funny. Like, so the e-com world is new to me, right? Like, I grew up on truck in store. That's what I know, right? And I'm a simple guy. So that's what, like, my comfort level is. This e-com space has been exciting, but it's really been the last 5 months. What's amazing is that I'm seeing this crossover, right? And if you take, you know, even some of the radio ads we did, like, people are hearing about it on the radio, they're buying it online. And then next thing you know, I see their tweet that, oh man, I just saw it at Harris Teeter. So it's like, even though we're targeting digital, we're getting retail, right? Mm. And vice versa is true. Where we're getting like a grocery store that we're, you know, we launched this one called QFC. It's a Kroger division up in the Pacific Northwest. You know, we launched QFC a month ago. And we go into the store and, you know, people try one in the store. They try two in the store. They love it. And then they buy a 24-pack or on a subscription on the website. So for me, it's been like this crazy crossover. And, you know, I'm just happy that someone buys it. And it's whatever way is easiest for them. And our goal is to make it as easy as possible for them, right? So, you know, we just launched an app, which I'm like giddy over. But, you know, about 3 weeks ago, we launched this app that is probably the simplest way you could ever imagine to buy a soda. And then we also have like a loyalty program that we built in to try to drive people into the app where, you know, every time you, you know, your birthday, you know, kind of like a Starbucks thing where every time it's your birthday, you get a prize, you get better discounts and, you know, simplifying and making it as available as possible is our goal. So regardless of where people buy it from, I just want to, you know, I don't really have a preference. It's really just trying to make sure that we can be as available as possible to as many people as possible.
My last one for you is, where's the end of the road? Where's the ceiling for you? Like, you know what I mean? I don't want you to put limits on anything or define it, but just kind of as you're going through this, are you the CEO and founder of New Wave Soda in 40 years? Are you like, you know, like in a mountain retreat with like goats around you and shotgun rifle or four-wheel drive and like just refreshing your portfolio? Like, what is it? What's the end?
Yeah, I think for me, like, you know, I love the excitement of the build, period, right? Like, I have had that entrepreneurial, like, trigger inside of me since the fruit stand in high school, and I have it today, right? So like, I'm on a high every day. I come to work, it's exciting and it's fun, and you know, I land at Publix, it changes the game, right? When you reach a certain scale, when I left Odwalla, you know, the company that Coke bought, we were doing $300 million in revenue, and I was running, you know, $60 million of the company, right? It was exciting, but I would add a new chain and it would go from $60 million to $60,500,000. It didn't change the game, right? So for me, like, the excitement was lost after a certain point. And so I kind of feel the same thing here, where it's like, I want to build Wave to be as big as it can be, as exciting as it can be. But I know at some point it will become, you know, a Coke or a Pepsi or an Anheuser-Busch that will take it to the level, you know, beyond where it's fun for me. And so I think it's the next 3 to 5 years, just build, have fun, grow, do what I know, and, you know, learn a ton on the way. And then, you know, hope for that, you know, happy partner to come take it to the next level.
Love that. I can't imagine being bored while killing it. But that's why you entrepreneurs are wired differently. Nat, you're interesting as hell, man. Really appreciate the time. And again, the product is outstanding. At the end of the day, you should always kind of remember that as you're going through some of the ups and downs of it. But you've done something awesome. Appreciate you joining me, man.
Dude, thanks so much, Danny. I really appreciate it.
Thank you to my guest, CEO and founder of New Wave Soda, Nat Noon. Loved his answers on a number of things. First of all, I can't help it. I've mentioned this before on the show. If you're kind enough to have listened or have heard this, you'll know I'm a big Malcolm Gladwell fan. His books and the way he writes and some of the ideas that he sort of espouses in terms of opportunity, in terms of stick-to-itiveness, and just the right training that sometimes lands people in these incredible spots. I loved his story about he had an idea. He was sure it was right, and then it turns out that it wasn't. And that set the stage for the second time that you roll up there. Think about Mike McD and Rounders, right? He sits down with Teddy KGB, and Teddy KGB cleans him out, right? And you know the whole thing, the pied à terre and his man. He comes back and beats him and takes his cake. It ends up with the 3 stacks of high society, and he's on his way to Las Vegas, right? He has the balls to ante up again. Here's Nat. same thing, right? Chased his dream, chased this idea, was sure that he was right. He was just sure. Drove around the country, just burned through the cash, and it didn't work out. And he's got to look wife, kids in the eye and say, I'm going for it again, right? So, A, credit to them for being able to say, okay, but credit to him for having the stones to ante up again. And that's from Worm. And that was a huge, huge, huge cool thing that I really liked that came out of that conversation. The other part is, this is something that I can do or that I can really relate to when it comes to comedy. I think this is true for a lot of comics. Some people are so clever and so smart, they can take an observation. I think Jerry Seinfeld, look at that. It looks like this, but it's really like that. And you're like, wow, that's true. He was on point. He actually made a lot of sense. He made me see something in a way that I wouldn't normally see it. But what a lot of comics do is they'll take something that's personal to them, that they can identify with and understand through and through because it's real to them. It's raw. It counts. It's exact. It's something that they have 100% authenticity for. And they'll bet that you can get it too, or they'll make it relatable to you. And so that's Nat's business idea here, right? He is just like me. He is an ex-soda drinker that knows you cannot just pummel, 16-ounce bottles of Mountain Dew by the half dozen every day anymore. We can't do that. We're just gross middle-aged dudes. You cannot just pummel Coca-Cola Classic and Pepsi and everything in between. Aspartame and all the fake sugars, probably worse for you, honestly, than the regular sugar is. It's all bad. There's nothing good about these drinks. Then there's that you got to swing the pendulum all the way over, right? And you're buying like something with one droplet of flavoring, but it's really just this bitter carbonated excuse just to see your mouth sort of feels like you're having a soda. He's going after ex-soda drinkers. I think that's why this product speaks to me so much and why I'm so excited about it, why I've got a case upstairs right now that I am mowing through. A little bit of caffeine, very pleasant taste, a little bit of carbonation. It checks so many boxes. Now, there are a couple of flavors actually don't care for, but that's cool that they've got them. Like there's a cucumber one. Some people love that one. I'm not one of those people. There's a blackberry one. My wife doesn't like that one. I love that one. They've got all sorts of stuff. And it's basically going after that market of former soda drinkers. And his point that I thought was really, really astute is that soda market, while it's still hundreds of billions of dollars, pure soda, that's starting to shrink. And as that shrinks, where are they looking for their fix? Right there, New Wave Soda. I mean, and also the thing I didn't think about, and I watch Shark Tank like every other idiot that's out there. But the thing I didn't think of is the, hey, we're excited about this. This is good to go. You got to pay up front. A, having the cash to raise, that's always a problem in early forms of production. Why people are always coming to the sharks, right? Why people are always asking Mark Cuban and Lori and everybody else and Mr. Wonderful for money because they need the cash to start their production and to get it cheaper. But his point that I never even thought of is the huevos again. Speaking about, well, frankly, balls, the balls to go, we should probably order 1.5 million. We should probably order 1.5 million of these things and then start selling them. Because if you don't sell them, whoopsie daisy, you got a warehouse full. But very, very cool. Really enjoyed my chat with Nat Noon, CEO and founder of New Wave Soda. Thank you guys, as always, for checking out the show. @interest_pod on the old Twitterverse, patreon.com/funnydanny. You can, of course, always catch us on Spotify, on Apple Pods, on Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, all that stuff. Haven't gotten word yet from Amazon as of the time of this recording. Hope to be there pretty soon as well. So thank you again to all you guys for listening. Thank you to my producer, Andrew Russell at Kiwanda Sound, kiwandasound.com for all your sound editing needs. Until next time, all of you guys, you seem interesting.